my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well.
Dear friends, welcome to worship today at St. Stephen's United Church here in sunny Qualicum Beach. We really are so delighted that you can join us for worship wherever you are. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. Lift up your voice and call out to God. We cry out, believing that God hears us. Come together and wait for God. We come together, trusting that God is still speaking. Surely God's presence is here with us now. We wait in hope, for God's steadfast love lifts our hearts. Come. Worship the Lord. We celebrate the power of God that restores us. And we remember God in all His power, His majesty, as He rose from the grave, bringing us life. Thanks be to God. Let us light the Christ candle. Friends, let's pray together. Out of the depths I cry to you, O God. We hunger for the bread of Jesus, the bread of life, and we thirst for you, O God. O God, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. We hunger for the bread of Jesus, the bread of life, and we thirst for you, O God. There is forgiveness with you, and I wait for you, O God. My soul waits for you. We hunger for the bread of Jesus, the bread of life, and we thirst for you, O God. In your words, I hope. My soul waits for you, God, more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. We hunger for the bread of Jesus, the bread of life, and we thirst for you, O God. Amen. And come now to the throne of grace. Let's pray the prayer of confession together. God of unity and love, place within each of us a spirit of hope and community. Have mercy upon us when we speak without love or act without humility. Cleanse us with the living water of your grace. Create in us willing hearts to live in patience and gentleness. Raise us up to be your children, growing toward maturity in faith and love. Living examples of the unity Jesus prayed for us to have. In his name we pray. Amen.
Friends, be strong. Do not fear confessing our shortcomings to God. God comes to fill our parched souls with living water, to open our eyes to the grace that is ours. God comes for no other reason than simply to give us life. This is indeed good news, and it is ours. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know how when you're hearing a story that takes more than one sitting to get through, sometimes you need to go back and refresh your memory about what just happened before this, before you can carry on to the next chapter or episode? Well, I think that's probably a wise thing for us to do today, because we've been in this story now from John 6 for a few weeks. So before we launch into the next portion, a little recap might be helpful. 2 weeks ago, we heard the story of an incredibly amazing day. It was the day that Jesus took a small lunch and blessed it and shared it and somehow made that food stretch so that it was enough to feed 5,000 hungry people. Then last week, we actually stepped out of John 6 for a week and we went back to the Old Testament book of Exodus to hear another story of God feeding people. It was the story of how God had saved the Israelites from starving in the wilderness by miraculously providing enough manna to feed everyone every day for 40 years. We went back to that piece of Israel's history, first because it helps us to understand how the miracle of the loaves and the fishes might have triggered the people's collective memory of that miracle of the manna. But we also went back to it because it helps us to understand why Jesus might have said some of the things we've just heard him say today. That huge crowd of 5,000 who were fed had already spent a fair amount of time and energy chasing Jesus around. That's why they'd made their way to that remote spot on the shores of the Sea of Galilee in the first place. They were trying to find Jesus. And as you can imagine, watching him multiply those loaves of bread and the fish, that had only intensified their pursuit of him. Well, perhaps in part to get away from those clamoring crowds, Jesus and his disciples had left that place across the lake and returned to Capernaum that evening. Well, the next morning, when the crowds came looking for Jesus again, they discovered that he and his disciples had gone and apparently weren't returning. So they went in search of him again. And eventually, after crossing the Sea of Galilee, they found him in Capernaum. Now, as incredible as it had been, it wasn't just the miracle of the loaves and the fishes that had attracted those people. The nature of that miracle had also clearly reminded them of that story of the manna that they knew so well. And so people were beginning to wonder who Jesus really was, if perhaps he was more than just another miracle worker. At that time, there was a popular expectation among the Jewish people that the Messiah would perform the miracle of the manna again when he came. Just as their ancestors had received bread from heaven under Moses' leadership, people expected that the same thing would happen for them with the Messiah. And when that happened, it would be a sign for them that their Savior had arrived at last. Well, all of that is important to know as we hear Jesus' response to these people. He realized that that was their expectation, and that's why he answered them the way that he did. Well, when the crowds finally found him in Capernaum, the first thing they asked him was how he'd gotten there. But Jesus didn't really answer them. Maybe because his answer actually was complicated. I mean, after all, he had quite literally walked across the lake. Or maybe he didn't answer them because he knew that they would get distracted by that answer. And then what seemed to be an opportune moment for him would be lost. It was clear to Jesus that these people were very curious about him. And he probably hoped that their curiosity might mean that they were ready to see beyond the miracles he'd been doing to consider something more. After all, they did seem to be open to the possibility that he might be the Messiah. So perhaps they might be ready to embrace the whole truth of who he really was. Instead of answering their questions about how he had gotten back to Capernaum, Jesus challenged them. He challenged them to look to him for much more than just literal food, even if it was miraculously provided. He told them that they weren't looking for the right thing. Instead of looking for more food that perishes, he said they should be working for another kind of food, the kind that endures for eternal life. Jesus knew that he had so much more to give them than just the odd meal. He had life, a life for them that would last. Well, to some extent, they did seem to hear this. They asked him what they needed to do to get what he was promising. And as we heard, he told them that all they needed to do was believe in him. So there it was, right before them. Life. All they had to do was believe what he was saying and trust and follow. But sadly, they just couldn't quite do it. Instead of just saying, yes, okay, sign us up, they asked for proof. They wanted a sign that would prove to them that they should believe him. A sign like, say, more bread from heaven, more manna. Well, God bless Jesus and his patience with us. He tried again to help them to see. He corrected them and reminded them that it wasn't Moses who had given the Israelites the manna. It was God. The manna was a gracious provision from God to his people every day. And then Jesus explained that God was actually still providing bread from heaven, bread that will give life to the world. Well, of course, they wanted some of that. And so, seizing the moment, he declared to them that he is the bread. He is the bread of life. And whoever comes to him will never be hungry. And whoever believes in him will never be thirsty again. Because in Jesus, we actually can find all we need to live. Now, Jesus' conversation with the crowd went on from there, and we are going to explore the next part of it next week. But for today, this is where we pause. As will become clear to us, this was another one of Jesus' conversations where the people listening thought they understood what he was saying, but really didn't. So they completely misinterpreted his words. As happens so often, the people who had been so hungry for more from Jesus walked away unsatisfied with what they thought he'd said. And so they totally missed what he was really saying. And that what he was really saying is what we all most need and want to hear. Now, to be fair, as was usually the case, those people were really trying earnestly to understand him. Their problem was that they got stuck in literalism. And so his words made no sense to them. He wasn't claiming to be giving them bread. He was claiming to be bread. And I'm sure that must have seemed like a pretty bizarre statement. Well, we can hear this from our perspective today. And of course, we know that he's talking about so much more than just literal bread. We get that he was saying that the manna, the bread from heaven that God had provided each day to sustain those Israelites for 40 years, as incredible as it was, that manna was just a forerunner for so much more. That physical provision was just one dimension of what God was going to do for us in all dimensions of our lives, of what God has done for us in Christ. Through Jesus, God is providing all we will need to be sustained forever. And to receive his sustaining grace, all we need to do is what the Israelites did in the wilderness. Follow the instructions God has given us. Here in our passage, Jesus has clearly told us to get that sustenance, all we need to do is believe in the one God has sent. All we need to do is believe in Jesus. Believe that he can and will provide all we need to begin to experience that eternal life now and to know it forever. Jesus will be the bread of life for us as we trust him and believe that he really is. In our Exodus reading last week, we heard that it was the Israelites' hunger that had made them begin to complain and grumble to Moses. And rather than get angry at their complaining, God responded to their hunger. He provided exactly what they needed to satisfy it, and more. God saw their physical hunger as an opportunity to help them learn that he was prepared to and would satisfy so much more than just their hunger for food. He would fill their hunger for life. He would be with them, leading them and caring for them, helping them to grow into people who were able to know the fullness of life with God that humankind was created for. Well, here in our reading, God in Christ is doing exactly the same thing. Just as God had done in the wilderness, Jesus responded to that crowd's hunger for food. And now he was promising that he was prepared to satisfy so much more than just their hunger for bread if they would just believe him and believe in him. Then they would get to learn about and experience life with God, the abundant life he's promised us all. Friends, this life we can know when we live believing and trusting in God, it has always been and always will be our deepest hunger. And so the promise that Jesus made to those people on that day is as relevant and true for us today as it always has been, that Jesus truly is the bread of life, who will sustain and fulfill us, so that we will never thirst or hunger for anything again, if we'll only come and believe in him. Amen.
Rewards, deliverance. the church was called to go.
Friends, as we pray together this morning, I invite you to pray responsively with me. When I pray, Lord, in your mercy, if you would respond, hear our prayer. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's pray. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the promise of God, the God to whom we now pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be the bread of life for the world. Forgive us for elevating earthly appetites above our devotion to you. Feed us with the knowledge of Christ so that we can recognize our sin and gladly repent in his name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those whose daily need for healthy food, clean water, and proper shelter goes unmet, and for those misusing what they have in the vain pursuit of pleasure. Feed them all with the good things of Christ for life now and life in eternity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Have mercy on those whose lives have been broken by violence and crime. Feed them with hope and a new life in Christ. And bless our brothers and sisters in prison and those who minister to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Through Christ Jesus, you have taught us to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and even to love our enemies. On the days when violence and fear loom, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, so that we may not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, help us to see each person in light of the love and grace you've shown us in Christ. Put away the nightmares of terror and awaken us to the dawning of your new creation, and establish among us a future where peace reigns, justice is done with mercy, and all are reconciled. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bring those who are sick or in sorrow healing and consolation through Christ. We pray particularly for those precious ones who are in our hearts and in our minds today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, you heard the prayers of your people in the wilderness, and you fed them with bread from heaven, despite their sin. So graciously hear us today, and feed us too with the bread of life from heaven, Jesus Christ. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And so trusting in this, we pray now as he has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, dear friends, for all the ways you give to the mission and work of God here at St. Stephen's. Would you pray with me over the gifts given this week, that they may be used to God's purposes? Let's pray the offertory prayer together. As we offer our gifts and lives in this moment, may we become imitators of you, gracious God, who holds nothing back from us, but is generous and gracious with all that is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, may the love of God that brings life to the world sustain you. May the bread of life, Jesus Christ, feed you with food that endures for eternal life. And may the power of the Holy Spirit nourish you and strengthen you in faith. Amen.
Start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. And these thieves, there's no one unwelcome here. And that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you. doubter, to the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who failed, you've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been led down, all the lost who have been found, all who've been labeled right or wrong, to everyone who hears this song. Come to the table, come join the sinners, you have been redeemed. To the table.